Good morning. I think we're going to take a little bit of a shift here. Just for everyone to know, it's been a pleasure to be on this panel. I am actually not an evaluator. I'm a digital media person who has spent time working on evaluating the medium of social and digital media. So it's been really interesting to sit and listen to these presentations this morning. And just forewarning you, this is going to be a little different. I've worked in media, so if I get a little jargony, I will try and make sure I explain going through, but feel free to ask questions towards the end. So we're going to talk a little bit about today measuring digital media for public health campaigns, and specifically a framework that I've worked on called the SOCIAL framework, which stands for Strategic Online Communication Insights and Learnings. So just to set the stage, there's currently no industry standard for measuring social media. A lot of that has come around because as these platforms have developed, they have their own metrics, their own ways of measuring, of providing data, and there hasn't been a uniform system. So really for today's goal for this presentation, I want to try and establish a shared understanding of how to measure social media's value for public health campaigns. But before we get to evaluation, I may be speaking somewhat to the choir, but I think a lot of us may be familiar with social media, maybe we use it in our programs, but take a minute to step back and say, why social? Why is this important? I was going to show a video today, but there's no internet, so I'm going to give you a couple of statistics that I find pretty compelling. From Forrester, 3 out of 4 Americans use social technology. From Nielsen, 2/3 of the global internet population visit social networks. And what I find to be the most compelling from BuzzAgent, which is a subset of Nielsen, that one word of mouth conversation has the impact of 200 television ads. So clearly this isn't a gimmick any longer. You know, I think that there was a time when people were sort of waiting to see, oh, is social media going to go away? Is it the idea du jour, and really it has changed the way that we are communicating, the way we are getting our information, and it is showing to be a channel that's here to stay. Social media presents an opportunity for public health campaigns. You can't really buy attention anymore in the sense that there are paid opportunities within social media. We'll talk a little bit about that later on. But in the way that public health campaigns and issues used to have to compete with larger, the sugary drink producers of the world, the fast food chains of the world, who had large television or advertising or media budgets, social media starts to really lower level the playing field. So that finally, next year, fast food restaurant advertising, your childhood obesity campaign can have a voice. But I always get, can we measure it? And I love this quote from Scott Monty because I think that there is such truth in what he's saying. He was actually being interviewed when he said this quote, what's the ROI of putting your pants on in the morning? And somebody was interviewing him saying, well, how do you measure ROI? Because Ford is doing a lot of social media integrations with their cars. And his point was, he got frustrated because, you know, for him, there is a way to measure it, but there's also an intrinsic value in being in social media. If you don't know what's happening, if you don't know what people are talking about, if you are not even listening to the conversations happening, then you're missing out on knowing what's happening around your brand that you don't control. So I just find that funny because there are implications. There's a value for putting your pants on in the morning, just like there's a value for participating in social media. But having said that, it is measurable. So where do you start? Well, you want to make sure that you explain the performance of social media within the context of your program objectives. What this means is that social media doesn't live in a vacuum off to the side. It should be part of your overall program. So as you go through that program planning process and you identify your goals and objectives and you determine your strategies, and from that you develop your tactics, Digital media is one of the tools in your toolbox. It's one of the options you have at your disposal. Secondly, you want to make sure you measure the metrics that matter. Digital media will give you boatloads of data. It will give you click-through rates. It will give you impressions. It will give you likes. It will give you followers. It will give you retweets. You have to make sure that as you go through your program planning process and you look at digital and you set your goals, that you're picking the data that will help support your goals. So if you want to drive traffic to your website and you're thinking of setting up a Facebook page, Facebook isn't going to give you the metrics to show that you're driving traffic to your website. It isn't meant to do that, right? There are more efficient means of getting traffic to your website. So you have to make sure that what you want to achieve and what you set out to achieve, the strategies you're implementing will actually do that and give you the data to support that. So I'm going to take you through one approach that's out there. It's not the framework. We'll get to the framework in a bit. But it's an interesting approach to how to measure digital media or social media campaigns. And it's the social media analytics framework that web analytics and it's Web Analytics Demystified has put out. And what they look at is a set of determining what your goals are. So if your goal is to drive consideration, and your objective, therefore, is to foster dialogue, so you think of what might your social media objective be to get your end consumer to drive to consider your program or your product. Then if you think about what your measures are, don't go from objective to channel, but what are the measures that are going to help support your objective that you want to foster dialogue? That might be share of voice, the idea of like how much of the conversation is around your brand or your campaign or your initiative. And they actually take a step to giving you a number. They want to actually help you quantify that. So what they look at is the total number of mentions around your brand or your campaign compared to that of the industry vertical. So the example might be if you were working with Geico, the mentions around Geico versus the mentions of the insurance industry overall, and that will give you a sense of what your share of voice is. They look at audience engagement, and the way that they measure that is, out of the total number of views of your whatever it is, your video, your Facebook page, your website, what are the total number of comments, shares, the engagement actions that an audience member has taken? So that, again, it gives you a sense of what that engagement level is. And then they might want to look at conversation reach. And really what they're looking there to do is show of the world of people who could see your content, what was the actual exposure? And so considering how, you know, if you post a video to YouTube, the number of views compared to the total number of potential views that video could have gotten. Again, they get very sort of into the numbers of trying to show return on investment and the value of your campaign. And from there, once they have those measures, then they determine the tactics, because basically the measures are going to inform the channels that you pick to use. So I'm going to actually apply this to a campaign that I worked on a couple years ago. It was for Geico. It was a 6-week campaign. Basically, Geico took the most viral videos on YouTube and they integrated the Gecko into them. And then they posted them, and it was a complete, it was a branding campaign. And this is very unique because Geico has always been a direct response client, so meaning that everything they do has to drive back to the sale of a premium, whether it's the 1-800 number or a search campaign. Everything that they do is very focused on bringing in new business or upselling existing clients. So the fact that it was completely unbranded, the only sort of brand piece of it was the Gecko. Geico, the name, didn't exist anywhere, and it was a real diversion for what they normally did. So if we take the model, the Web Analytics Demystified model, and we look at what the goal would be, we could say that the goal was brand awareness. The objective was to drive visibility of the videos, engage with the key consumer target on YouTube. And if we take the measures of share of voice, audience engagement, and conversation reach, and we apply it to this case, for share of voice, we might consider the sort of overall chatter for the insurance category compared to that of Geico. For engagement, it would be the total views of the videos, which were about over 4.9 million, compared to the 20,000 comments that they garnered. And then the conversation reach, which you could measure as the total YouTube community compared to the 10,000 plus subscribers that that one channel had. And then you could inform from there, you could inform your tactics. But what's missing? For me, what's missing from this are the qualitative insights. So for instance, the learning around the fact that by doing this, we built really strong fan connections. And so comments like, "Hey Gecko, how are you? I love your stuff and hope you post something soon." And, "I refuse to believe that this is an official company page. It's too funny and not obnoxious." So the fact that we were able to garner those learnings and build those relationships gets completely left from that earlier framework. As well, we learned that as you participate more with your communities, you garner more engagement. So it's an iterative consumer engagement process. And again, this doesn't come through when you only look at the hard numbers. Which has led me to put together what I call the social framework. And the social framework has actually, it sits in your basic program planning. As you're considering your programs, you want to look at if digital is one of the right channels that you want to use. There's two pieces to it. There's planning and evaluation. And in order for us just to get to the evaluation, I want to take a moment to look at the planning part. And it begins with an upfront planning process where you're looking at what your goals are, what your budget is, who your target audience is, what your target's doing. Are they online? Are they in social networks? Are they on mobile devices? Are they, is the best way to reach them radio? Then this maybe becomes irrelevant. But if digital is a place where your audiences are, then there are basically four ways for you to participate in social media. The first is through publisher communication, this idea that you're letting others speak on your behalf. The second is direct-to-consumer communication, which is basically you talking directly to your end consumer. The third is sustained paid media, where you might implement a texting program that's a paid initiative over a longer period of time. And then there's also paid digital to support key brand events, or episodic paid media. This idea that you're coming in and out using a paid opportunity. It could be Facebook ads, it could be Twitter ads, but you're coming in for a short period of time to amplify some moment in time. And together, this leads to campaign visibility and consumer activation, and we measure that through reach, insights, actions, and value, which leads us to the evaluation component of this. Reach is, again, these are your hard numbers. This is how far your content went, how many eyeballs you got, and really the metrics that you can kind of use to support this vertical are things like impressions or click-through rate or CPM, which is a cost per thousand impressions. It's how media is bought. The number of views, the number of likes, things like that. But you want to layer on top of that, your insights. And that could be through your one-to-one messaging, the sort of anecdotal learnings that you got through your community, or the use of polls or surveys, or crowdsourcing, which is, getting creative ideas from your community. Thirdly, you can look at the actions, and I think this is very unique to social media, is look at the actions that are taken by the audience and the brand. So this idea that it's a multi-directional conversation and communication, looking at things like, did social media lead to requests for more information, questions that were asked and answered, potential face-to-face meetup groups or integrations that happen offline, or new opportunities. But looking at what those actions were that can be tangibly tied back to your campaign. And finally, the value of your campaign. This is something I've added recently to this framework, and it is trying to look at you know, what does it cost for you to run a to build a Facebook page, to grow an audience, and what does each one of those fans cost you? And when you start to look at the value, you can sort of assess what, you know, how you're doing, and is it worth it for you to be on this page? Maybe it is. I'm not saying it shouldn't, it isn't, but it helps you to kind of analyze that. So just a couple of key takeaways. You want to make sure you set digital goals as part of your regular program planning. Digital should be part of that. Your digital goals will be very unique to what you can achieve within the digital medium. They should roll up to your overall programmatic goals, but they are different. Some potential KPIs, key performance indicators for your campaigns: reach, insights, actions, and value. And finally, for public health, as we think about, you know, I know we have smaller budgets or maybe no budget, but as we think about what the earned opportunities are, those continue to deliver and drive down costs, so there's a real sort of added value there for our types of campaigns. So thank you.
Thank you so much to all the presenters that presented today. It was very interesting. We're going to take questions. We have about 10 minutes to take questions. Does anybody have anything? Yeah, go ask first. You go ahead.
For Mr. Bay, how did you measure community engagement and community participation?
Well, as I indicated, we took all the items from the model that the we measured community partnerships based on the number of partnerships that each site was able to achieve based on the requirements in the model. So they were required to develop clinical partnerships, non-clinical partnerships, to develop partnerships with agencies, health agencies that that were not directly a part of the funding of their activity. On community engagement, they were required to set up a community advisory group. And so we looked at whether, in fact, they did achieve that. We looked at how often that community advisory group actually met, who was involved in the group. To some extent, we tried to look at their involvement in decision-making. That was a little bit more tricky because of the data that we had. We tried to whether they were involved, whether they met, how often they met, that those kinds of things.
How would you differentiate, say, one partner in the community that would say a large regional medical center from an individual provider in the index?
We did not, because the client did not ask us to do that. In other words, the client did not say, give one more weight than another. I mean, we could identify whether that was the case, but we didn't in our evaluation, at least the quantitative portion of it, we did not try to give each of those a weight because the client did not give those a weight.
So within the index, one regional medical center that's reaching, say, a regional population of 100,000 scores lower than two providers in between them in a rural setting, maybe have 50 clients.
It could. And one of the things I didn't get to talk about, we have lots of conversation about whether we should be weighted. And that's always a difficult and challenging discussion. In the final analysis, we decided for this particular project that we wouldn't do that because when we talked to the site and we talked to the client, they couldn't come up with a comfortable way of weighting. Now, the methodology allows for it, so we could have easily have weighted based on any number of criteria, including things like what's the outreach in for the partnership, but that decision, we couldn't come to a consensus on the best way to do that, so we took the middle way. Next,
yes, in the back by the wall.
Okay. Could you say, speaker, notice that you made a distinction between community engagement and community partnership. I find that interesting because sometimes they're put together, but was community engagement sort of a lead to the end of community partnership? Tell me how you...
Well, Well, community partnerships were actually considered the institutional partners. So, you know, regional health clinic, local providers, whereas we looked at community engagement as being the extent possible representatives of the actual partner community.
And you had a question as well?
Yeah. So what do we do with these findings? So once they score low in certain areas, you can find it. Just to show someone, like, what do they do with this? Does it affect funding later on?
What we do with the findings, we give it to our client, who can decide what they would do with it. But obviously, but you could use those kind of findings to help guide the project. Now, this particular evaluation did not have a technical assistance component. We provided some support, but it wasn't our job as the evaluator to actually do TA. You could use this, and you know, we could measure this on an ongoing basis to say, we see you're not doing as well in this particular area as maybe you might. Hear some things that you may want to pay more attention to. In fact, one of the areas that we talked about was that we didn't think happened as well as we would have liked was to actually give more feedback to the site so that they got a lot of this information earlier. We did provide annual reports, so a lot of this information was out there, but it wasn't as systematic, I think, as it could have been. It's one of the lessons that we learned.
Yes, you in the back.
As an evaluator, I really would like to say yes, absolutely, that our findings actually made a huge difference in policy. But honestly, I think it fed into the process. They had much of the results, not all of them, because the timing of the new RFA didn't necessarily allow them to get the final results. So they had some of these preliminary results when they were doing that. So we do know that some of these results were used and provided some insight, but I would be making an heroic assumption if I were to say, oh, well, you know, this really led to the group of sites that you actually see now in the new RFA.
Are there any other questions for the other panelists? Yeah, go ahead.
I would say that there are examples out there. I mean, the social framework has been used before. It wasn't something that I could present today. And I'm more than happy to sort of talk about an individual case. There's definitely different articles or research, or I don't want to say research, but more sort of the gray literature out there around how you evaluate this. And you can read some of the things, like there's eMarketer, there's some interesting things that are written up on Mashable. A lot of them are more industry publications. Part of the challenge is that social media moves so quickly that for peer review that it's a longer process. So by the time it gets published, a lot of times it's actually quite out of date, or maybe the conditions under which that example might have been run or have changed. So, but those are some great, Forrester, again, Nielsen, BuzzAgent, those are the ones I would say.
I think we have time for one more question. Did you have one?
I was going to ask this whole still the same. Human maturity, low birth weight.
Low birth weight.
Yeah.
Wonderful. I think that's all the time that we have, but I'm sure if you have a specific question, that the panelists will be glad to take that. So